Well, hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Today sees us starting a new section in our study of God's Word. We completed Titus yesterday and we're going back to the Old Testament as from today to look at a chapter or two from the book of Proverbs. So we're not starting at the beginning, we're going to actually look at chapter 15, but let's pray before we come to God's Word. Gracious Father, we thank you for your light shed on our lives. We thank you for your insight, your revelation, not just of how we should live our lives on this planet, but how we should live our lives before you. And we humble ourselves now. We kneel in your presence before the Lord Jesus. We would see him exalted and lifted up. We would want to obey him and please him, bring honor and glory to his name. And we ask that you help us now as we read your word to understand it and apply it to our lives. In his name we pray. Amen. So what's a proverb? Well, you probably are well used to various proverbs. You may use them on various occasions. Short, pithy sayings which encapsulate some kind of nugget of wisdom. But when you come to God's word, there's a whole book of them. And indeed, many of the proverbs that are at large in today's society actually hail from the Bible. I was looking the other day at an article which was pinpointing how many proverbs or sayings actually originate from Shakespeare. Well, at least as many come from the Word of God. So we're looking at the book of Proverbs, and much of that is actually called or titled the Proverbs of Solomon. Solomon being the son of King David, who in turn became king himself. Solomon, who was responsible for building the temple, and in his prayer to God in that process, God granted him a wish. He asked Solomon exactly what he would want from God, and Solomon asked for wisdom. So here is a man who is versed in wisdom. God granted him his requests. Sadly, his days didn't see out the living out of that wisdom, and Solomon fell in many ways short of all of the goodness and the grace of God revealed to him in the truth that God showed him. But nevertheless, his words are inspired, which is why they're in our Bibles. And we're looking at God's proverbs, so God's rules for life, how you live well in this world. To get an idea of purpose, you might very well read Proverbs chapter 1, the opening of the book, where it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise." And then there is a much repeated sentence which is often used throughout the course of the book of Proverbs. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the beginning of wisdom. So we are looking at God's Proverbs, not just any old collection of wise sayings that someone or other might have put together. Further, I want to say this morning that as we approach this, we must be sure that we are looking from the New Testament perspective. So what difference does that make? Well, it means that these are not just laws for living, they are spirit-living life. What is being described here is available to the Christian who has a new heart in Christ, and they point us to ways in which the Spirit grows his fruit in us. So as we look at the various verses here, we must be asking, how does the Holy Spirit live this out in my life from day to day? And you might be tempted to say, well, here is a proverb. It suggests that this might be a good idea, a good way to live, but that's not really who I am. I don't work in that way. But no, God says he gave you a new heart in Christ. And he says he's put his spirit in that heart. And his spirit empowers you to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus. Indeed, he grows his fruit in you. And we will see the fruit evident in the way that you live, the way that you respond in the world, the way that you react in certain situations. So these are things which you can expect to be true of yourself and should indeed seek to see them more and more evidenced in your life as you live it out in the light of Christ. So this morning's verse, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 15 and we're going to start at verse 1. And hopefully it will set a kind of a template for the way that we're going to approach this. How does this apply to me is the salient question. So Proverbs 15:1 says this. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The old word says a soft answer turns away wrath. So here is the question. What do you do when someone is angry with you? For maybe reasons that are valid or maybe not, maybe unfairly, when somebody just blows up in your face and exhibits anger towards you, how do you respond? Well, the natural way is to be defensive because anger comes across as an attack. Somebody is having a go at you. We say that, don't we? We use that phrase. And the natural response is to defend. Indeed, to be aggressive in defense and even angry in defense of ourselves, whether that is justified or not. That's the impulse that comes from the fallen heart. What this verse is showing us is that there is another way which is open, and it's a better way. If you answer calmly and gently, you will turn away the anger. You see, it's a bit like being confronted with a fire and having a choice. You can either pour petrol on it or you can pour water on it. The one will inflame it and make it flare up even more, and we call it escalation. We see that in an argument, don't we? Where the two sides are not letting each other off. Each one is determined to win, and it gets more and more heated. A hard answer increases the anger. But what this proverb is telling us is that a soft answer has the opposite effect. Here is something that comes from a peacemaker. Here is something that comes from the heart of someone who doesn't have anything to prove. No need to defend, because what they are is what they are before God, irrespective of what other people think of themselves, rightly or wrongly. So if we answer in the gentleness that the Spirit provides, and you'll see that in Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, one of the words used is gentleness. Another one is self-control. Here is what God implants in your heart as a believer. Irrespective of your former personality and your character and your tendencies and your trends, you may be somebody who blows up quite quickly, who gets angry quite easily. Well, God has sown new seed in your heart, and he wants that seed to grow so that Jesus is glorified, so that people can see in you the way God changes who you are. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. And if you call that out when you're in these situations where there's aggravation in your face, you will exhibit a quality that shines Christ. And there is the value, there is the purpose, that people would see Jesus in us. And we have as the model, as the example, the one who, when he was confronted by angry words and spite and ridicule, opened not his mouth, not even a soft answer, no answer. Here is the response of God to the anger of man. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we ask that you calm our hearts, that you make us to know this peace we have within, which is such that the world cannot give. And we pray that that may be evident in the way that we respond in these situations where we are confronted and sometimes attacked. May we show forth Christ in the way that we live in this world, and may the glory be his. In his name we pray. Amen.